What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today I'm answering your questions. And I want to apologize because I'm a bit behind on doing so. You have been emailing me, it's been about 3 months of questions that have been building up. So today I have about 8 that I'm going to try to work through. And I want to do that in a way that provides a succinct answer, but also a substantive answer. Sometimes it can be a bit frustrating to wait for 3 months and then finally the answer comes and it was just very pat or just flat out common sense. So that's my goal today. And as you're thinking through these questions, I do encourage you to write in to greg@transform.org. I don't always get to email you back directly, but the more succinct and direct you are with your question, the easier it is for me to read it and then to answer it on an episode like this. So I want to start. One listener wrote in, and she was speaking about disappointment. She asked the question, how can I grow in handling disappointment? And apparently, according to what she said, is after bad news comes in for about 48 hours, there is this downward spiral of fretting. It is even getting to the point of being despondent. It could be health information from insurance companies, whatever it is. How do you prevent yourself from getting extremely disappointed? And, you know, there's one side of you that says, well, don't trust anybody. That's the inner skeptic in all of us. Well, if you don't trust people, then they can never hurt you. And the reason that's unbiblical is because 1 Corinthians 13:7 says it's unbiblical, which is that you're to believe all things, which means you're not a skeptic. You believe the best in people. You're not starting from a point of distrust, but an openness to trust. That's the concept there. So you can't move into a self-protective measure. Anytime you're loving other people, you will be hurt. And that's just the reality of the world that we live in because we're all sinners. Some of us are growing in sanctification and conformity to the image of Christ, but we're all still sinners. And that means that we sin and we hurt. Also, you can't live in a padded room, proverbially speaking, withdrawn from society. Even then, I think you might find disappointment in yourself and learning that if you're isolated, that's not the answer either. So withdrawing from society, withdrawing from relationships, that's not a biblical concept. We're called to be engaged in church. We're called to be serving in the society, the culture the Lord's entrusted to us, work, things like that. So what do we do? Well, one of the first places I would start is analyzing your expectations of other people. Biblically work through what do you expect of others? And if you're a person that is easily and quickly disappointed, oftentimes that comes to high expectations. And high expectations are going to get at understanding roles. What do I mean by understanding roles? What do you expect of that person corresponds to the role that they have in your life? If they are a stranger to me, then they don't have a great amount of personal trust to betray. So if my insurance broker disappoints me, well, it's not really a disappointment if I haven't given them a significant amount of trust. Instead, I say something like, okay, that didn't work with them. Let me call someone else and see how that goes. When I think of a medical doctor that's just kind of fuzzy and doesn't really give me helpful information, instead of my trust being broken with them, I just say, okay, well, that doctor wasn't really helpful. And then now I move on to another doctor. Why? Because I'm understanding our relationship to be more like strangers. And strangers don't have a great amount of personal equity with me. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean I'm not telling a stranger my social security code. I'm not telling him my financial statements, my mother's maiden name. And I'm just trying my best to be guarded about how I relate to strangers. So when you understand roles better, what happens is you're often less disappointed in people because you're not giving the wrong types of people high hopes and wrong levels of trust. So I would get back to asking the scripture, how does that person relate to you? And then expecting of them what the Bible expects of them, what God through His Word tells you about them. And when that happens, I think you can echo with the psalmist, Psalm 62:2, that when God is at my right hand, I'm not greatly shaken. It doesn't mean that I'm unassailable. It doesn't mean that I'm stone. It doesn't mean I'm disconnected to the world. It just means that I'm not greatly shaken. These things don't mess with me significantly. So the next question that came in is really about an episode that I did about your body and health. And that was back in October of last year. So think of it, think of like stewardship of the body. Is your body ruling you? And those types of questions. So a question that came in was, is bodybuilding as a vocation appropriate for a Christian? Oh, this one's funny to me. And you guys may not know this. I've never brought this up on air, but I actually competed in a bodybuilding competition back in my prime. Okay. All right. What does that mean? In high school, a friend and I really got into bodybuilding. So we did weightlifting at school, which then morphed into us doing bodybuilding. And he and I actually competed as 17-year-olds in a local bodybuilding competition. Isn't that weird? In fact, I wanted to pursue bodybuilding as a career after that competition. Oh, man, I'm laughing at how lame my 17-year-old ideas were, at least in that regard. So is bodybuilding a legitimate thing? Here's what I found is that it's a very self-absorbed sport. And unlike other sports, it's all about you and your looks and your nutrition, your sleep, your workout routine. Other sports actually help you focus on the team and working well with a team. But bodybuilding is very myopic. So if you're interacting with a very myopic, me-centered sport, my nutrition, my workout routine, seriously, some of these professional bodybuilders are eating 6 and 7 times a day. They have to sleep X amount. They wake up in the middle of the night to eat again. I mean, you're really a slave to intaking a certain amount of calories. I think it's really hard for you to live a life that is focusing on other people and not yourself. I would suggest if you're interested in bodybuilding, that you intentionally find ways to make it about Christ as a platform for the gospel, not your body and not your achievements. And you don't live by fear of what happens if I skip a meal. Am I going to get smaller? That you're actually seeking to honor the Lord and be a good steward. And as big as you can naturally grow your body, then you do that. And I'm saying naturally, no steroids, no illegal substances, none of that wackiness. But do I think that it's appropriate? No. And if you were to ask me personally, what's my advice? I would say, don't do it. Because you're going to be surrounded by a group of people that are walking around in their underwear, studying each other's bodies. And I just don't think it's a very spiritually conducive environment for Christ-likeness. So that's the bottom line up front, I would say. But is it a sin? It's not inherently a sin. It's just really, really, really hard to do that and to honor Christ. It would be something like being a Christian model or being a Christian actor or actress. Those things are just really difficult to maintain your relationship with Christ well and to do that well. So that's my 2 cents on is bodybuilding as a vocation appropriate for a Christian. Another listener wrote in just to expand a thought, which I thought was helpful. Brandon wrote in and said, I think it would be good to highlight the fact that it's very hard to eat healthy and cheaply these days. And that some people, they're not eating healthily out of a sense of fear, but they're trying to be good stewards and trying to avoid all the ultra processed foods and sugars and all of that type of stuff. So I think that's a fair clarification. And if you are really seeking to be a good steward of your body and you're not going to Whole Foods out of a sense of fear and obligation, then I would say, yeah, go for it. Whole Foods, you can go to Whole Foods in a way that glorifies God. One more question, and this is from a listener that will remain anonymous. They have asked, are Jimmy's jokes funny to you? Jimmy, are you listening? Well, you know, you really have to define what the term funny actually means. Do you mean odd by that? Because if you mean odd, then I would say, yes, I do find them to be funny. They're very odd to me. But if you also mean the term hysterical, then I would say absolutely. Jimmy's jokes are both odd and hysterical. One could say they're hysterically odd. There you go, Jimmy. You're welcome, sir. Where did that listener write in from? My desk this morning as I was getting ready. Next question. And this question will probably split our segments here. So let me just give you the question and then we'll pick up with it in our next segment. The question is, a listener wrote in and said, I am not spiritually mature enough to be the head of a household. What are some of the ways that I can work on this? I appreciate the humility of that. If I remember correctly, this was from a younger man late high school, early college, and asking about how to grow in maturity and to be prepared to be the head of a household. Well, first of all, you recognize that this question is the starting point by understanding you're not there yet. You have not arrived. Now, I want to be candid about when my head of household stuff started. I was 19 and my wife was 20 when we got married. We were high school sweethearts. We had dated since ninth grade. So I don't put myself forward as some spiritual leader with unequaled prowess and wisdom and insights to scripture. I don't see that at all. I see myself as a young 19-year-old man that really loved her and loved the Lord and wanted to get married. So if we understand ourselves correctly, we know that we are not ready, but I don't want to put forward a perspective that you need to be perfect, because I don't think you'll ever be perfect. And your headship and leadership in your home is actually going to be better the more you recognize that you're not perfect. That cultivates humility and dependence on Christ. So let me take a short break here. When we come back, I will answer the question directly, what are some ways to work on spiritual leadership? We'll be right back.
Back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And as he's talking about physical and spiritual health, I want to recommend Mastering Time Management, available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org right now. It's written by James Petty. As you read this resource, it's a little booklet, but as you read it, it brings some pretty big details into focus. I recommend you picking it up right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Have you heard about TMU's mechanical engineering program? They just opened this state-of-the-art lab. It's amazing. And with church and ministry scholarships up to $20,000 per year available, it's really an incredible opportunity for young people who want to combine technical excellence with biblical truth. The Masters University. You can find out more about attending the Masters University at masters.edu/transformed. Every day, we're posting 7 new pieces of content at Fortis Plus. And you can download it right now to your mobile device to make it easy to consume the content. FortisPlus.org has the link to download it, or you can view it right there. Also, there's a way you don't miss any of the content that's being produced, because there's a lot of it being produced and added daily. Becoming a Fortis Insider will help you stay in the loop. When you sign up to become a Fortis Insider at FortisInstitute.org, we'll send you an email 5 days a week with all of the curated content that we've posted for that day. Also, as a Fortis Insider, you'll be the first to know about the sales that we have several times a year. You'll get private invitations to filming that we have for some of our resources. There's a really big benefit to becoming a Fortis Insider, and it's free of charge, doesn't cost you anything. You can sign up right now at fortisinstitute.org. And you know, we love giving away free stuff around here. That's kind of like our spiritual gift, but we're really only able to do that with the help and support of our gospel partners. You know, we're committed to standing firm. We're committed to producing content that's unwavering in biblical truth. So many ministries today are being tossed to and fro, and we're committed to standing firm. We want to provide biblical answers to real life questions. We can only do it with the help of our gospel partners. And that's why it's so vital. Would you pray about becoming a gospel partner? Help us create resources like Transform and all of the other resources that you can find on FortisPlus.org right now. Just pray about what it would look like in your life to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And if you're already giving faithfully to your local church and you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt, we would greatly appreciate your consideration. You can get any answers to any questions you might have about what it would look like in your life at FortisInstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, Jimmy, thank you, sir. Thanks for the good resources. If you guys haven't downloaded Fortis Plus yet, you must. I was listening to Brad Bigney's Thrive. I always like the way he says it, and this is Thrive. Or I was listening to Way of Manhood this past week as I was driving. John Krotz was talking about, why did Jesus say, don't tell anybody at the beginning of his ministry? And then why did Jesus say, tell everybody at the end of his ministry? So those are just great resources for you. I would subscribe to all of them, and then as you can, cycle through them. And I will bet that each season will be a little bit different. Some of the marriage stuff by Brad is going to be super helpful. or you know younger men that are really going to be blessed by Adam's work. So be sure to check out those other resources. So back to the questions at hand. Listener said, I'm not spiritually mature enough. What are some ways that I could work on this? Here's my response is I think you need to focus on your relationship with Christ right now and be a spiritual leader where you are. You see, when you get married, there's not a switch that flips to where all of a sudden you become a spiritual leader. You weren't that before, but now you are. So in your friend group, how are you taking initiative to prompt your friends toward Christlikeness? Even if that's just a simple thing like praying before a meal or offering to pick people up and take them to church. How are you volunteering at your local church? How are you getting involved, or are you not? If you're not, then now is the time. You're not going to become a lover of the local church as soon as you get married. You'll always have another season of life that's too busy and you don't have time to get involved. So do it now. Do it now as a single guy. Be involved in whatever age-appropriate Bible study you can go to. And I would even say if you're, this it was coming from a late high school, young college guy, in an intergenerational Bible study, somewhere where you're learning from older men and you get to be embedded in the larger body of Christ. So not just a college group, but a broader home group or small group Bible study. So be serious about that. Be serious about your time in the scripture. Take it very seriously. We're not missing it. 5 days a week, we are in the Word. And we'll give ourselves 2 makeup days, but 5 days a week, we're in the Word. We don't play games with that stuff. And then when you're dating someone, be a godly influence and leader in a way that's appropriate to that dating relationship. Take initiative to pray. Honor her parents. This was coming from a young man. So honor the parents of the girl that you're dating. Be involved in your local church. Have your own thriving relationship with Christ apart from her. And as you date, you'll see, does she want to become a part of that or does she not? So that is how you do it now. And whenever the Lord brings that right lady to you, she's going to see that vibrant walk with Christ. And that is what will make you a spiritual leader and contribute to you being a spiritual leader when you get married. Okay, next question. Who would win in an arm wrestling contest, you or Todd? Oh, wow. Again, with the questions. Well, you guys may not know this, but Todd and I actually go to the gym together whenever I'm out in Georgia. I think he does it to intimidate me. He just looks me in the eye the whole time as he's lifting his hundred and hundred and hundreds of pounds. So it is quite effective. I would never arm wrestle Todd just because of how intimidated I am by him. But one funny sidebar, at the gym, Todd is evangelizing. So when I go to the gym with him, you know, we'll split up and go do our different things. And then Todd's sharing the gospel and trying to introduce me to people to help continue to share the gospel. So just been very challenged by his faith. And think like sometimes I go to the gym and just want to get it over with and go home. But he's building relationships while at the gym. So I appreciated that about Todd. Anyways, that question came from my desk this morning. Okay, next question. I'm curious what you would have to say about chronic illnesses. And these last two questions are really about episodes on health. And this one is more about how do we think about a chronic illness that's undiagnosable or undiagnosed? The listener was saying that they were battling with some health problems, looking for answers, but haven't really found anything up to this point. So what do we say about those undiagnosed chronic illnesses? Well, we do recognize that there are issues with our body that we just don't have answers for. There's no diagnosable way to say you do or you do not have that thing. So I would be candid and just say, you know, I'm not a medical doctor and it's not my job to medically diagnose an illness. It's my job to help you think biblically about that. So how do you think biblically about an undiagnosed chronic illness? Well, we believe it to be an unknown issue of the body. It's your outer man. We're not exactly sure what's causing it. We know that sin affects the body and that living in a fallen world brings with it the consequences of sin on our body. 2 Corinthians 4:16 talks about your outer man wasting away. And we know through that aging process, that is true. So it is very possible that there is something legitimately happening in our body that we just don't know what it is and no one else knows what it is. And usually a Lyme's disease, a fibromyalgia, those types of diagnoses are just kind of a catch-all phrase. Gastrointestinal issues, it's just a catch-all phrase for things that we don't know exactly what's happening. It's more like identifying the symptoms than it is the causes. So if it's unknown, then what we're going to do is we're still going to think through this through a biblical lens that God has given this to us. He is sovereign over our suffering and we want to honor him. So if he has decided to give me migraines that are, there's no clue why these migraines come about, then I'm going to do my best to trust this is his plan at this season of life, and also to seek medical treatment in a way that really does honor him. I'm not going to be a person that is consumed with my pain. I'm going to be a person that tries to address it biblically and demonstrate a level of tenacity, that I'm going to be tough under the pain. And I'm going to do my best not to grumble and complain about the pain and some of the difficulties that it's bringing to my life. We recognize that God gives us the capacities that we have. And I'm reminded of the parable of the talents. And our body is part of the talents that God has entrusted to us, Matthew 25. So you're just trying to be faithful to the body that God has entrusted to you. And at different ages, the body could do different things. Usually in your early years, you're more physically capable, but you don't always have the wisdom that you'll have in your latter years where you're not as physically capable. So how does your ministry shift based off of the talents that God has entrusted to you? Put long-term undiagnosed chronic illness in here. So how do we think about our chronic illness through a way of serving the Lord and the capacities that he has entrusted to us? So we're still going to operate within the limits of these capacities, but that means being faithful, not idle, not complainers, not self-focused. I am not going to stay home and watch Fox News all day. I'm sorry to tell you that. But if I get a long-term chronic illness, I'm going to serve the Lord as best as I can with that chronic illness. So a nuance that came out of that question, and this was actually from a different listener. She said that she has experienced changes in her health over the years. And one recent issue is that as she gets older, she finds herself fretting over the best path forward amidst conflicting medical information. So her health was getting better for a season, and then it now took a turn again. So she's wrestling with the fear that comes with WebMDing things. Some of you know what it's like to go onto Google and start to search your symptoms. Have you ever done that? Oh my goodness. What will happen is you're going to think you're dying within the next 20 seconds. If I'm sick, honestly, one of the things I try to avoid is Googling my symptoms. My wife might do that. She might Google and wonder what's going on. I had this skin issue this past year. Oh, what was it called? It was this really painful thing on my side. And when I Google things, what happens is I can be prone towards fear of what's happening there. So here's just a very practical thing. Put off the WebMD and renew your mind with the truth of Scripture. The truth of Scripture is what's going to give us the peace that passes all understanding. Think of Philippians 4 sequentially. So you're not anxious in anything, but in everything you're praying, you're offering thanksgiving, and then the peace of God, which passes understanding. That is a resultative peace that comes from you trusting in the Lord and putting off your anxiety. For many of us, Googling and thinking about our medical issues all day actually cultivates fear and anxiety. So we're having to renew our mind with the truth of Scripture and say, Lord, you are totally sovereign over my body. And if you want my body to hurt right now, that is your call. Give me the grace to honor you in the middle of this pain. But we're not going down the black hole of WebMDing. I am not going to go ask 1,000 people. That is a great way to incite fear in my life. So I would encourage you, renew your mind with the Scripture, not WebMD. And if you're stuck, you really are stuck thinking through the consequences of your sickness, what this could mean for your family, what does that new bump mean? Should I go to a new doctor? Is my insurance going to cover it? Instead of getting stuck in all of that, think of Philippians 2:3-5, which says, take the mind of Christ, verse 5, which is, count others' interests as more significant than yourself. Think about others first. If you're stuck in this myopic downward spiral of your own health, then intentionally identify ways that you can serve other people. And where would I start? My local church. Get your mind off of yourself and how you feel and focus on how you can serve other people. And what you'll actually find is that you feel better. I don't mean that you're healed. I don't want some weird, easy believism, name it and claim it thing to come out. But I do want to say, if you want your symptoms to be worse, then sit around and think about them all day. That's just common sense. And some of it's just a common application of the Bible. If you want to feel worse, think about it all day. Rather, focus on Christ and focus on how you can serve other people. Don't let your life be dominated by your next medical appointment. So I want to thank all of you for writing in and the two questions that I added. I guess I'm thanking myself there. Wait, but Jimmy, we love you, man. Thanks for serving us like you do. Todd, it's an honor to work with you. If you have more questions, please write in greg@transform.org. And as always, let me pray for us as we finish. Lord, I do thank you for the listeners, and I pray that you would strengthen them in their faith. Each listener is learning and growing at different seasons of their sanctification. So use these series to help them to trust you more and to be more like your son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.